Welcome to the Sons of Mjolnir podcast.
The Sons of... what?
This isn't your Sons of Macaroni, yeah!
The Sons of Mjolnir?
This is Sons of Mjolnir,
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Beyond Invincible. As always, I am one of your hosts, Fat Thor, and... also, as always, I am joined by the incredible, the amazing Sean Mott from Metalcore Nerd. Sean, how are you doing today?
Doing great, man. Ready to talk to Invincible. Also not ready, because after this, we only have one more episode.
Dude, I know. It's like exciting and sad at the same time, because this episode was so great, but then it's like, oh, we only have one more. And no. That really sucks. And I got to say, we got a lot to cover here, and we're on a limited time today. But I got to say, before we start getting into this, we're talking about it's like we only have one episode left, and I love this show. Everyone who watches this show that we're doing right now knows that we are in love with this. But yeah. I gotta say, dude, I really feel like they shot themselves in the foot with this mid-season break. Like,
really? I've seen talks of this.
I don't feel it in the content. Like, the content is as good, if not better, than it was the first half. So it has nothing to do with like how, like, the level of content. It's just I really feel like the break took a lot of momentum away from the show. And obviously that's different for me and you, because we got to see these episodes early and we binged it all. But just seeing the kind of conversation, like this morning, I like saw barely anybody talking about the new episode. Like, I saw a couple people, don't get me wrong. It's not like it's silent, but I feel like in the first half, it was like the thing. And I mean, it was coming up against Loki at the time too. Yeah. And it was like everyone's talking, everyone's hyped. So I don't know, man, what do you think about all this?
I have seen some people talking about that, and I guess I don't know if I really felt it, maybe because I'm just so stoked on it. Like, this show, and I've watched a lot of series this year. It's my favorite series of the year so far. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's like utterly perfect. Crazy enough, my two favorite series of the year are both animated. X-Men 97, only three episodes in, is my number two. That's how good that show is.
So amazing.
But again, it's going up against X-Men 97, which just had the biggest Disney Plus premiere ever, ever. That beat out anything we've ever talked about on Disney Plus, not even just Marvel stuff. So that show is massive. That's what everyone's talking about right now, is X-Men 97. Plus the Bad Batch is coming out also on Disney Plus. A lot of people are talking about that because it's really fucking good.
Yeah.
And I mean, not to mention like Three Body Problem, which is kind of a different kind of thing, like that obviously we both very much enjoyed, is on Netflix. And it's like summer movie season is starting to really ramp up. Like, Ghostbusters came out, Godzilla vs. Kong's coming out this weekend. Like, there's so much content coming out right now. I think that hurt too. But yeah, I'm wondering what, like, did they do it so when they get to season three, it's like not much of a wait, but like, it, you know, breaking it up, and because it falls into 2 years. Because like, when I ranked this in my top 10 rankings, I ranked Invincible season two part one in my top 10 of the year for TV shows, and that's what I'm doing this year. Like, I'm almost treating it as two different seasons in a way.
It feels like it kind of
So it's hard. And like, I was even talking to some other people, and they're like, man, I hate this mid-season break, because when it comes back, it's awesome, but it's so short. It's only four episodes.
Yeah,
you know, that's not a lot to dive into. So it's like, I wonder if season three will just be one full release or not, because I really hope so.
I'm in
a wrong mindset for it, because like you said, we saw stuff earlier, we've binged it. I've already watched these episodes multiple times at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm just so stoked on it. It, like, I don't know. I might be blind to it. You know,
I 100% agree. Yeah, I 100% agree, because I'm the exact like mind of you. Like I said, it's not that I'm feeling like less excited about the show. Like, it's nothing like that. I'm 100% in agreement with you. But I think for people that are more casual fans of it, like, we're you know, hardcore into this, obviously. I mean, we do a whole show about it, but for people that are like that really enjoy the show but maybe aren't like as in tune to the internet and stuff as us, I can totally see where they might not even have realized it came back. You know what I mean? It's just a weird thing to have this mid-season and then, like you said, only come back with four episodes. Again, I could totally understand for someone who's more a casual viewer being kind of just blindsided by that and like losing the momentum. So I really hope that next season they just go all the way through with it and don't let up on the break at all. But
I
besides
check on Prime, it is still the number one TV show on Prime.
Oh yeah, it's killing it for sure. Like I said, it's not, I don't think it's like, when I say they shot themselves in the foot, I don't necessarily mean like, oh, the season's hurting or anything like that. Right, just right, like right. It seems like the fire of excitement that was around in the fandom is just dulled down a little bit, which is like, I just hate to see that for the show, because like we said, it's not, there hasn't been a drop in quality. The show episodes are just as good, if not better, than they've ever been. So I would hate for breaks like this to lose people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's definitely a big hindrance on the momentum regardless. You know what I mean? You get so stoked and then you're like, oh, I have to wait months.
Yeah, plus we waited so long for this season too. I think that also has a big part to play too, because we waited at, you know, however long it was for this new season to drop, and then we got four episodes and then we got cut off, and then it, you know what I mean, it's like, bro, I need that fix, my dude Robert. I need it all at once. But speaking of needing it all at once, we have a lot in this episode. Like we talked about last time, they're jamming so much stuff into these episodes. So let's kick it off right away. One of my favorite scenes, and this, I love this scene in the comic book too. So we see Mark and Amber going to Comic-Con, and he meets the creator of Science Dog, or sorry, in the show, it's Seance Dog. And they have this amazing meta conversation about, like, you know, cartoons and like how animation works. And he's like, oh yeah, like, you know, most of the time you show the back of their head because then you don't have to animate their mouth moving. And then it shows like the back of their heads. So what, I mean, just what'd you think about this scene and the kind of meta commentary for it?
We did hint on this a little bit on last episode. I didn't want to go, I obviously didn't want to spoil it, but you were talking about how they kind of have these like meta kind of jokes within the comics. And I loved they did this. Like they even did like, we do these crazy wide shots that really just pans across, but nothing's even moving. And and like the thing about like, you know, sometimes some scenes are even way better quality than others and stuff like that. I was like, oh, this is amazing. I brought it up to Robert Kirkman too, when asking if I was like, you guys had a very meta commentary on how long it takes animation to happen, but I'm hoping that the wait for season three is going to be a lot shorter. And he said, yes. He's like, don't expect it in like 3 months or anything like that. But yeah, I would expect it comes next year. Like a normal TV show, you get a season once a year. That's kind of like the normal how it goes. So, but it was great. I loved it. I loved it so much. It was so funny seeing, like, you know, like after last episode in particular, after that big conversation with, you know, the Amber and Mark split screen and everything like that, to see them kind of try to rekindle this, you know, this love that they have for each other and do something together. And I love that it's still awkward, kind of like that coffee scene. But when they get in the line and Amber's like, are we in a line?
Yes. And I gotta say too, for someone who's been to Comic-Con, that's like 100% what it's like. That is, they did it to a T. Like, you'll just be walking around and all of a sudden you're just like, wait, are all these, is this a line or are people just standing here? Because there's some crazy lines that go all across the convention center. But yeah, I mean, they do this in the comic books, but not with animation. It's more, so there's, I could not find, I was looking through before we hopped on trying to find it, but I could not find the specific issue, but it happens multiple times where there's one where Mark meets the writer at a comic shop. And then later is when they go to Comic-Con, which actually another change in the books, Mark goes to Comic-Con with Eve. That's when like Eve and Mark are already together. So they go to Comic-Con. But another thing. Another thing I have to point out, though, that I absolutely loved, and it's like, this is a comic Easter egg if there ever was one, but the writer of Seance Dog looks strikingly similar to the artist of Invincible, Ryan Otley. Like, I'll throw a side by side up on the screen here, but literally they look just like.
Did he voice him?
I don't think he does, because I was lucky enough to meet Ryan, and when I heard the voice, it didn't sound like him.
Okay.
But it looks like him. And if it was him, that'd be so fucking cool. Like, that'd be super cool. But yeah, I love the scene. And like I said, we get this in the comics, but it's more comic commentary, and like they talk about, you know, oh, like how they reboot series every, you know, couple months and stuff like that. So like we talked about last episode, I love that we're getting a little bit more of this kind of meta commentary, and they're also applying it to the show as opposed to like the comic books, which I think is just super fun and cool.
Yeah, but great.
After that, we get an awesome scene with our boy Rex, and he comes back into the fray fighting, his name's Octoboss in the comics. He's not a big character, just kind of like, kind of when we talked about Omnipotence, like one of those villains that kind of just shows up every once in a while. So that's Octoboss. And like we said, Rex gets back in the action. And he shows off some pretty cool ass abilities too. So again, Sean, what'd you think about Rex and his new robot abilities?
Yeah, it was great to see him kind of back, and it was, you know, a little touching. It adds more to that Rex redemption arc. And of course, Mark gets the call from Eve to go help him out, mm-hmm. and takes him away from Amber and Comic-Con. And, you know, but Rex is the one who takes out the big boss guy, while Mark kind of helps him out. But it was nice to see them have that moment together. And even after the fight, I love that they kind of talk about their respective trauma. You know, Rex mm-hmm. is like, I thought I just had so, you know, I wanted to get back on the, and he stares at Octoboss, which is like, obviously, if you've watched the episode, it looks like this big ass Davy Jones looking motherfucker. And and he's like, get back on the horse, even though it's like, you know, like a giant octopus human. And Mark says, you're like, yeah, that's what. Yeah, I tried to do after everything happened with my dad. Mm. And Rex is like, yeah, he's like, I don't think anyone else could have came back from, you came back through, you know, which is, mm-hmm. that's not something Rex would say last season, you know?
Yeah.
So it's great to see this redemption arc for him, and kind of see this new bond form between Rex and Invincible. I love it. I really like it.
Yeah, me too. And that's something that we don't really get in the books. When Rex comes back from the whole King Lizard thing, it's a completely different circumstance. They're actually fighting Duplicate's brother, and like that's his first
what?
Yeah, Multipole, dude. You don't know nothing about Multipole yet.
Was he in one of like the cells or something?
Yeah, he was. So right? He's okay. Very sneakily, I want to say that was episode one of season two. But we very sneakily see him in one of those cells. But yeah, in the comics, that's Rex's first kind of first outing back is against Multipole. But we don't really get, at least from my memory, maybe some of our Invinza heads out there can correct me, but I don't remember Mark and Rex having that kind of, you know, heart to heart moment, similar to the last episode when they were in the hospital together. We get that scene in the comics, but it's very like very quick. It's not as like deep. And so having that, I think, again, just goes to everything we always talk about on the show, really fleshing out the characters a little bit more. And I also really love in the scene with Rex when you were talking about how, you know, he's like, no, I need to do this. And I love he's like, dude, like, I need this. He's like, right. Please, like, I need this. And Invincible's like, okay, dude, like, you got this. And again, like, I just really love it because I think it just goes more to what we talk about with Rex's redemption, like how you said he wouldn't say that a year ago. And just, again, that small little thing of him just being like, dude, I need this. Like, really just kind of, you know, deepens his character a bit. And you're just like, damn, Rex. Like, fuck yeah, Rex, you know? And we also get a little Spider-Man nod with his when he does his power, if you notice that too, which we won't even get into that. We'll talk about that later.
Also, I'm going to say is Spider-Man is not in the series, guys.
Spider-Man is not in the series. I'll say that for sure. Yeah, we can confirm. We'll
talk about that next week.
Yeah, that's next week's discussion. Something else I want to talk about, though, and this is something that we've talked about on the first half of this season. And it's not really a point of discussion in the episode, but we see Robot is training Monster Girl, and he like built her own little robot and stuff. And I think it was last episode, we finally got Robot talking to Cecil and like talking a little bit more about how when she uses her power, she continuously gets younger. And again, that's something that we talked about in the previous episode as not necessarily a criticism, but something that they haven't really talked much about in the show, because in the books, that's like one of the main like linchpins of Monster Girl and Robot's relationship and how that relationship starts is him trying to help her control and or fix her powers. So I really love that they're starting to get into that now into the show, yeah. Because I'm not going to spoil too much for, you know, what happens to them in the future, but that like their relationship is very important moving forward and plays a huge role. So I really thought I think it's cool. Like we're starting to kind of see that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Cause they've kind of been like small hints throughout even season one to season. I mean, him creating a young body to be like the same age as her is like, it's kind of messed up.
Yeah,
you know,
kind of. And I love in this scene too, we get kind of a recap, if you would, of the state of the Guardians, and Bulletproof basically says exactly what you just said. He's like, we got one dude who changed his body so that he could be with this girl, and that's fucked up. And
yeah, like Immortals depressed, you know, duplicates dead.
He was like, we got a guy who's so old, in a coma. He shits dust. I love that.
Funny. And then he brings up, he's like, you don't even have your hair anymore. I was like, damn, dude.
Dude, yeah. First of all, fuck Bulletproof. I'm going to say that right now. Fuck that guy. But yeah, it was funny having him kind of recap, like I said, where everyone is at on the Guardians, and basically again kind of what you said in our last episode, like Guardians are kind of fucked, man. Like they're kind of really scraping the bottom of the barrel right now.
Yeah, there is a line later that I hope I remember to bring up that Cecil says that I do want to ask you about, but we'll, when we get there, I'll see if I remember it.
Well,
but
let's,
it has
just
to do kind of with the Guardians.
I'd say, is it with him in Immortal when he's talking to Immortal?
No,
okay.
It happens during something with Mark later.
Okay, then just save it for later then. But so we meet up with the Guardians. We check up on Oliver, and, you know, he's just kind of doing his thing. Just something really quickly to point out is that, again, something we kind of talked a little bit about last episode was it seems like the show is slowing his aging a little bit. And
right.
In the book, like, again, timeline is a little different here, you know, but if we're following like where this scene takes place in the book, he's like a kid talking, like they're playing catch with a baseball and shit, you know, so seems like they're, like I said, holding his aging back a little bit. But something that they do talk about that is important that we've alluded to a little bit is his tutor mentions how he's learning like crazy fast. Like she's like, he's picking up things at a crazy fast rate. And we've talked about this a little bit, but Thraxons, like we talked about, they not only learn very quickly, something to remember, which maybe they'll get into this in the show, but in the books, it's explained that not only Thraxons learn very quickly, but they remember every like minute of their life, like from the moment that they were born.
Shit.
So like, while Oliver is a baby right now, like he is very conscious of what is going on, and like,
okay,
he will remember all of this stuff basically. So like I said, not really, we don't really see any hint of that, but I think that just something in the books that kind of gives more context to what he's learning and kind of what we talked about, like what's that going to mean when he gets his powers, you know.
That just made me think of next episode, and
boy we gotta save it. No teases here, no spoilers here, but the big meat of this episode and what, you know, most of our discussion is going to be about is we then get Anessa. I'm gonna call her Anessa. I think that's how you pronounce it. And major bombshell moment, crazy moment in the episode. It's when Mark and Amber are actually, like we were talking about, they're trying to make things work. They're on a date together. Mark has the Guardians covering for him. And then all of a sudden, Anessa shows up, Viltrumite, and, you know, threatens to kill Amber, which, you know, then ensues this whole thing. But before we get into the nitty gritty, Sean, what were your first thoughts? Not knowing who this lady is, what she's about, when she shows up, did you shite your pants a little bit? Like, what was going on?
A little bit, because you know, before when they're on this date, it's like this like beautiful moment, like the music is playing, and it kind of feels like it gave me like Spider-Verse vibes, you know, like it feels so like youthful and just hopeful and nice and fun. Like the music is just like, you're like, oh man, this is great. Like, look at them go, you know, like they're flying over the water and she's like touching the water, and I'm like, oh man, this is so nice.
Beautiful.
This is so nice. And then boom. Viltrumite threatened to kill his girlfriend right in front of him. And I'm like, no, no.
Nothing lasts long.
You know, and it's just like, you feel the threat immediately, you know. Mm-hmm. She even says, you can try and stop me before I kill her, but it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And he knows, like, he's fought Viltrumites. Like,
yep,
he knows. And yeah, so it's like the tension is just immediately, it goes from just like glee to like tension instantly. And man, what a great job they did at that, for sure. And I think it's because like the Viltrumite stuff hasn't been a ton, you know. There's been a little sprinkled in, you know, this season, obviously, especially with the end of part one, you really saw that in full force. But you've like season one, it was really just, you know, Omni-Man, you know. So it's like, I love the way they've been like building to this threat, you know, because like we talked about last episode, that's the big thing right now. That's in the back of everyone's mind. All this other stuff is going on. That's obviously very like awesome and important and traumatic sometimes. Mm-hmm. But the big thing is those motherfuckers are coming.
Dude. Yes.
And there's one here right now. So you don't know. You're like, is this it? This time? Is this when the war is happening? So you don't know. You have no idea what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I think that adds to that tension too. But yeah, great. Immediate threat. Boom, done there.
So did you, when she came in, did you think like, was that your first thought? Like, oh fuck, it's happening. Like the Viltrumites are here. Or were you more just kind of like, okay, what's going on here?
It was more of that.
Yeah.
I can see people thinking either way, but it was more of the immediate threat of like, wow, he just threatened Amber. Like that's, you know, that's rough.
Yeah. And I want to point out, so this this happens in the comic, obviously, specifically issue 44. So the rest of this episode is mainly issue 44 and 45 right after another. But the biggest difference here is in the book, it's actually Debbie that Anissa threatens. It's so, So like we talked about in last episode, at this point, Mark and Amber are already broken up, which we will talk about in just a minute here. But so in the book, Mark is on, not a date, but he's just out to dinner, you know, lunch or whatever with Debbie, and Anissa comes. But it plays out the same way. You know, she does the neck thing. They meet up in the sky. But another interesting thing that I think, which again, I think goes to some of the changes that we see commonly in the show, is that Anissa in the show is a little bit more confrontational. And I don't even think that's the right word to use, but just very much like, I'm here. This is your mission. Like, you were, you know, charged with taking over Earth for Viltrumite. So you got to fucking do it. But in the book, she's a little bit more like trying to convince Mark, like trying and like almost kind of what we see Omni-Man doing in season one. And instead of, again, in the show, it's much more like, you know, Viltrumites will rule. And she mentions like the people are killing this planet anyway. So like we will be able to help that. But in the book, like I said, it's much more of a partnership that she's proposing, in the sense of like the Viltrumites will come and turn Earth into a utopia. And in return, we will use some of Earth's resources. And by time we get enough resources, like the amount of resources that we require, it's going to be like thousands of Earth years. Past the time that Earth would have died if left to human intervention, right? So I find it interesting. Like I said, in the book, it's kind of more of a give and take deal that she's proposing, that the Viltrumites are proposing to Earth, as opposed to the show. It's a little bit more, like I said, confrontational, a little bit more like, no, we're going to do this regardless. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, so I thought that was interesting, and I think it just kind of goes to, again, a common theme that we see in the show with the violence and the, you know, aggression being amplified in the show, and I think that's the right word I'm looking for. Aggression. She's a lot more aggressive in the scene in the show, I would say, than in the comic books. I mean, still aggressive in both mediums, but yeah, I just thought that was very interesting where she was, like I said, like, yeah, like, you know, this is the good for everyone because we're gonna kill everyone, which is always the gambit, but like I said, a little bit more nuance in the book, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, even in the show, it's not as like straightforward as that. She does kind of want to help Earth, and that's kind of how he gets her away from over a city,
yeah,
and everything like that to fight the monster. So I like that because that was a different kind of side than we've seen before from a Viltrumite, kind of being like, hey, we want to help this planet, not in the, it's kind of like a Thanos type thing, like, oh, I want to help the universe by killing half of it. You know, it's like, we want to help you, but we're still going to, anyone who goes against us, we're going to kill. Not really the best, you know.
Yeah.
not the best approach.
But yeah, and another thing too that I feel like the show didn't harp on as much is, again, with Anissa trying to kind of convince Mark, another kind of major part of her thing is like she tells him, like, your understanding of Viltrumites is completely wrong. Like, yeah, like she, which we get a little bit, I think, I want to say she has the line of saying, like, I know, like, most Viltrumites are quick to violence, you know, something along those lines. But she, again, kind of harps on it a little harder in the books of, like, you know, I, like, yes, our people are quick to violence, but we also, like, our main goal is to bring utopia to, you know, planets across the universe, which, again, it's just kind of interesting to think about the Viltrumites, right? Because I think, like you said, we get a lot of, you know, backstory a little bit from Nolan in season one, and then we meet the Viltrumites in this season when they fight on Thraxa. But I think, like, there's so much more to the Viltrumite just culture that has yet to be revealed that I think lays a lot of groundwork, and I think something to understand, especially with Anissa going forward, and people who have read the comics or have even maybe looked up her character, I'm sure you can, you know what I'm alluding to here, but it's the Viltrumite culture is very different than Earth. And like, it's very much built on what, no matter what she says, it's very much built on violence, brutality, taking what you think you deserve, like thinking you have ownership over everything else because you are Viltrum. So that's something very important that, like I said, we're going to be seeing once we learn a lot more about the Viltrumites.
Okay. Looking forward to that.
But then we get, like you said, then she helps out Mark and she helps him fight this big, you know, seaweed monster, not seaweed, like sea monster.
Yeah.
And we get another thing that I want to talk about, because again, it's very important and a little different from the comic books, is Mark's refusal to comply with what Anissa is saying. And Cecil's even like, dude, just say the words, like, it does, you don't have to mean it, just fucking say it. But Mark refuses to do it, even when she's beating the shit out of him. So I wouldn't say really different, but that is very different from the comics. We don't really get that. And something we talk about in last episode is like that refusal to go against Mark's personal code, right? Like what he thinks is right and wrong is something very, very core to his character. So adding that refusal to say the words, even if it doesn't mean anything, I think really kind of drives that home.
Yeah, and he's kind of lucky in a sense that her mission wasn't to kill him. He obviously is like a valuable, I don't know if asset is the right word, but they want him alive. The Viltrumites wanted him alive for sure. And I'm very interested about why. Like, I know they kind of want to bring him in and, you know, they see him worthy as being part of the Empire, but nothing he's really done has kind of shown that he wants to be a part of it. So I don't know if it's their kind of violent ignorance that makes them think that he'll eventually turn or something. Like, I don't know why. And that's what makes it so interesting. And even like something like this, like, he's obviously not being like, yeah, I'm down. And she's like beating him to an inch of his life. And then was like, my mission isn't to kill you. It was to send a message, you know? So it's interesting to like why they want him. Like, I get it from perspective, but it's like not like he's shown any promise or wanting to join. Like even when the confrontation on Thraxon, like when they didn't really have a conversation, they were just like, he was also, you know, lying, beaten on the ground, and was like, you're gonna do this, see ya, bye.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like he was like, no, he couldn't really, you know, he was too messed up to
say. I don't think he said anything.
Yeah, he was just like, you know, like coughing up blood. You know, like it's not like he could say anything, but again, he just, you know, fought two of them.
Yeah. Know?
So it's like, what? I don't know, but maybe that's, you know, part of their culture. Like they even have a thing where they fucking kill the weak ones. You know,
yeah.
They're
like, well, that's a great point. You know? Yeah, that's a great point. Is like you said, it's interesting how like she says, I wasn't sent here to kill you. And they're specifically seems like they're specifically keeping Mark alive, where it's like right. The whole Viltrumite culture, and this we've learned this in the show already, so this isn't a spoiler, but like they literally, there was like a huge civil war on Viltrum basically, and they killed all the people that were weak. And if you survived that civil war, then you're a Viltrumite basically.
Right.
So the fact that like you would think that they would just kill him immediately just because he's like, oh, you don't want to do this? You're fucking weak, dude. You know, karate chop to the neck. But like I said, for the show, they're really putting a little bit more importance on like, oh, like they need Mark for something. And I'm not going to spoil what that something is. But that also goes to another slight change from the comic. Like you were saying in the comic, like, yes, there's an importance on Mark. But in this conversation, Anissa straight up tells him, she's like, we will find someone else to take your place. And we get this a little bit in the show where she says, someone else will come. And I pray that you come to your senses before that. And in the book, she says basically a similar thing, but she adds in, like I said, we will, if you don't accept, we will find someone else. That could take us months. That could take us years. But I pray that you come to your senses before that happens. So the kind of ultimatum she leaves him with in the books is like, we're going to be looking for someone else. So you better figure this shit out before that happens, because if we do, you're fucked. But here we get a nice little tease of what's to come when she says someone else will come. So, I mean, I know who that is, and my Invincible heads out there know who that is. But Sean, as the newbie in the group, I want to know, what are your, do you got any theories, any thoughts of what, who that could be?
I think it's, what's his name? General whatever? The guy with the one eye?
Craig?
That's my guess, but there could be a million other Viltrumites they could send, you know, like, obviously, like, Anessa was a new character. I think we saw her in, like, a flashback scene when Nolan was describing something or something like that, I think.
Yeah, we might have.
Not mentioned by name or anything, and they showed a bunch of other ones. I know there's like an older looking one with white hair that's like massive, that I've heard is like a big part of the comics. I don't know his
Conquest.
Name.
Conquest.
You know?
I'll
so
say
they showed a lot.
His name is Conquest, and let me just tell y'all, keep an eye out. Keep an eye out for Conquest for sure. But yeah, there's a lot of Viltrumites that are going to be coming into play. I don't, you know, don't want to spoil too much for anybody, but Anissa is just the first one that they've sent, right? Like, this is just the first step. This is like the, okay, like Mark, you know, we gave Mark this job. Let's kind of try and see if we can reason with him, right? Like, see if we can reason with him. Now Anissa has decided there is no reason, you know, Mark's not going to be doing this, you know, willingly. So that takes them to the next step of the plan. And then we'll see what that comes to. But we got to talk about, before we get out of here real quick, Mark and Amber, the super sad scene. I just rewatched it right now. And so sad. But Mark and Amber finally call it quits. And it's been a long time coming, something we've been talking about. But again, the way that they handled it in the show is just so great. They actually, Amber gets to voice her issues, concerns. Mark, you know, they actually have a conversation similar to what we talked about last week when they're in the coffee shop. In the books, this happens very, very differently. Like we talked about, their breakup in the books happens before they went to get coffee, right? Like right when he comes back from from the Sequids. And when they break up in the book, again, going to the changes to Amber, Mark goes on this like big spiel, like, he, you know, like, oh, it's not you, it's me, like, you know, all this stuff, you know, with the Sequids, and like, I'm never here, and I just think it's not fair to you, and blah blah. And Amber literally just says, like, okay. And then he was like, what? Okay, that's it. And she's like, yeah, I mean, like, it's not working, blah blah. And like, that's kind of the whole breakup, right? And again, I just love how here we actually give Amber a chance to, you know, again, have equal footing in this conversation, in this relationship, in this breakup. It's not like Mark just decides, like, oh, this isn't fair to you, so we're breaking up. Like, we get the groundwork of last episode with her and Eve, and then we see it all come together. So what were your thoughts about this super sad moment? We love Amber here, so it was sad to see.
Yeah, honestly, I rewatched it yesterday, and it kind of hit me harder a little bit on second viewing, just being like, man, this is sad, dude. Mm-hmm. Just because you see how much they both care about it, and seeing kind of both of them, you know, she says, like, how does this work? And they kind of talk about it, and they're like, it looks like it doesn't, you know, and that's so rough. Like, two people who just like really want to be with each other, but it's just not in the cards. And that's heartbreaking, man. It really is. And I just like love the changes they made from the comics to like make you more invested in these people that were kind of a, you know, like a lower role. And just a quick plug for myself, I did talk to Robert Kirkman about this, about the changes to like Debbie and Amber. And you can read a little excerpt of that on the streamer right now about how Kirkman praises Zazie Beetz's performance in this episode, because it deserves to be praised 100%.
Yeah.
This is a great scene. So great, honestly.
Yeah. And it really just goes to show, like, you know, things that we talk about all the time, what make this show so great, which it's like, we all come for the explosions and the superhero fights, right? And like the big, crazy, brutal fights. But I really think what really makes this show so strong are these more quiet moments that we get with our characters. And I think that's really, like I said, not only going from the perspective of like changing things from the comic, it just makes, I think that's really what sells the show. And especially for someone who doesn't know anything about these characters or this world, I really think it's these quiet moments that are really pulling the general audience in.
Oh, for sure. That is the difference between making, I think, anything like superhero-y from good to great. Spider-Verse does it too. Like, obviously, you know, the second Spider-Verse movie is insane, you know, so crazy. But my favorite moments are those quiet moments. It's the same thing. It's like why I love Loki. Like, a lot of that show is just conversations and like really important human conversations between these gods. You know, it's so incredible to see. And but that, you having these things to connect to a character and relate to, that's what brings you into this stuff. And this show does it perfectly, along with those crazy, super insane fight moments and everything like that, like in multiversal shenanigans and you know, different races and groups and stuff like that. It's such a complicated show when you really kind of like lay it all out, but they present it in such a digestible way. Like it is so incredible, honestly. Like it's so impressive what they do with this show.
I mean, they got the sauce, man. They got the freaking sauce. There's nothing else you can say. Like, I mean, they just do it so perfectly. And then we get two little teases at the end. One is at the end of the episode, and then one's kind of your, you know, mid-credit, post-credit scene. But speaking of multiverse shenanigans, our boy Angstrom is back. Mark gets a call, and he is with Debbie and Oliver. And I mean, I know it's again hard to talk about because we know what's coming next. But pretend you don't know. Like when you first watched that episode, if you can remember, what were you feeling when you saw that he had Debbie, our girl.
Shit's about to go down. that's what I thought. You know, they've been hinting at it, especially in this later half of the season. Angstrom's kind of been in the background, but he'll pop up in like a little NT scene, you know. And here it is. Here, you know, it's like we know next week. Here's the payoff. You know, we're gonna get the conclusion to this whole, you know, kind of setup that started in the beginning of the season. So yeah, I was like, man, here we go.
Yep, it's going down. And then after that, we get a quick little another one of our favorite people, Alan the Alien. He comes across the Viltrumite ship that they were talking about in last episode and does a quick little fight with Anissa, but it's clear that he wants to be taken and on that prison, because again, last episode, him and Mark talk about that's probably where Nolan is. So what did you think about this little, about Alan's secret mission?
It was great. And it also totally showed his new strength.
Yeah.
You know, because he just let himself get taken. He like played dead. You know what I mean? But he, you know, he was giving it to him, which is like, that's a big deal moving forward. Not many people that can hold their own against a Viltrumite. So that's I'm guessing that's a big deal. And obviously him going to possibly free Nolan or whatever is going to happen, you know. I'm it's awesome. Like, I love me some Alan, and he's on a very important mission right now.
Yes, he is. And I can't remember if this happens in the comic or in the show, but when Anissa punches him, he says something like, "Wow, that did not hurt as much as it should have hurt." Did that happen in the show? That's in the show. Okay, yeah. So again, I really love that, because again, you get a real sense of how much stronger Alan is now. Because I mean, if we remember, oh, go ahead.
What's his species name?
Unopin.
Yeah, he even punches Anissa, and like, she's like, "Unopin's never this strong."
Yeah,
like to add to that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, I love that scene. And again, just, you know, emphasizes how much strong, because again, we saw last time Alan got destroyed. Like, it wasn't even
pummeled.
Yeah. Like, didn't even stand a chance. So now not only does he stand a chance, but he is dishing that shit out too.
Yeah.
But again, it's so hard when we've seen episode 2, like, we can't really theorize, you know, about next episode. So before we get out of here, got to ask you, as always, favorite moment from this. Like we talked, there's a lot that happened in this episode, but what was your all-time favorite of this episode?
Definitely the I think the breakup scene is the most impactful for
me. Damn it, Sean. Always picking the same one as me.
Sorry. But I did love when Anissa finally shows up for the first point, just because the like juxtaposition of like, oh, it's such a happy, fun time to boom, tension. Like that was so great. Like I love the way they handle that, because they do handle tone very, like, I'm very sensitive to tone, and even when they shift something that's so dramatic as that, it feels natural within the universe, within the show. So that's great. Like, I love that. I love that they can handle that. It doesn't feel weird or like jarring or anything like that. It just works. That's very important in movies and TV for me. So A+, Robert Kirkman.
Dude, A+, and I gotta echo you again, as always. I mean, the Anissa, I think, was my favorite, and I think your analysis there was perfect and explains it perfectly. But something I really love about it with this tension is, it for me, coming from the comics, it reminds me of like those page turns, like the you know, kind of suspense you get from a page turn. And Invincible is very great at that. So the way they translate that feeling with, like you said, the switch in tension, which they do so well in this show, I think kind of gives me that same feeling as like a, you know, crazy page turn. So that was my favorite moment as well. And just like knowing what's to come, you know what I mean? It's like, oh my God, like this is happening. That means we're getting to this, you know? So it's just all, it's exciting all around.
I love it. And that's a great analogy. Good page turner.
Like it's a page turner, man. The comic, the show, it's a page turner, flip turner. It's everything. It's everything you want and more. Another fantastic episode of Invincible. Unfortunately, like we talked about, we only have one more to go, and I'm so sad to see it go, but hopefully we won't have to wait as long. Like we talked about in the beginning, hopefully Kirkman and team, it seems like they got it down now. So I'm thinking that we're going to be back doing this a lot sooner than we were last time, hopefully.
Yeah, I think so. Hopefully.
Hope so. Fingers crossed. Well, everybody, thank you so much for coming and nerding out with us today. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider giving us a like and subscribe. It really helps us out. Also, be sure to go check out Metalcore Nerds, all of their podcasts, written material, articles, all the stuff they got going on, and check out Sean's work over at The Streamer. That's going to be where all of his stuff with Robert Kirkman is going to be uploaded. Fireworks in the chat for Kirkman and Sean. And I will also be putting all of those links in the description as they come out. So if you check and they're not there yet, come back, check, and I'll be updating them as, like I said, the articles come out. I hope that you guys all have a fantastic week. I hope you guys all stay hydrated. I hope your stacks are fat. And we will see you all next time for the last final episode of Invincible Season 2.